Yeah, Father God, Lord, I just pray that you reveal your Son to us today. Lord God, I just pray that you open the eyes of our hearts to really see him. Yeah, Lord, and the courage to respond to him and respond to your calling.
Yeah, good afternoon, guys. It's really encouraging to have a preach immediately after such an intense worship session, where the words that come out are also very much in line with what I felt that God has placed on my heart to share this afternoon. Even the prayer meeting beforehand was very much in line. So it's very encouraging to have a word that one believes is from the Lord, and it's also very intimidating. So this afternoon we're going to look at a passage out of Matthew, where Matthew records a conversation that Jesus has with his disciples. And I believe it is a very, very pivotal point. I think it's the crux of the gospel, in fact. And my hope for us today is that we too hear and recognize who Jesus is, and that we respond in the same way that the disciples did. All right, so it's a short piece of scripture. From Matthew 16, verse 13 to 18. And Francis, maybe we can put it on the board and then we'll read it together. All right. When Jesus came to the region of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say the Son of Man is?" They replied, "Some say John the Baptist, others say Elijah, and still others, Jeremiah or one of the prophets." "But what about you?" he asked. "Who do you say I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for this was not revealed to you by flesh and blood, but by my Father in heaven. And I tell you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it." So many of us, we all come to church for different reasons. Some of us come to church to make friends. Some of us come to church to become better people or become a better person. Some of us come to church because we think we're a better person. And we think it's the right thing to do, or we think that our parents expect it, or that we're expected of ourselves. And for some, hopefully, all of us, most of us, we, like Simon Peter, our reason for being here, and if we read out of John, don't put it up, John 6, he says, "Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life." So we come to church and we often focus on being something or trying to become something or doing something, and we have plenty of good teaching, and these are good teachings. That teach us to be something or to become something, to be light of the world, to be salt to the earth, to go and make disciples of all nations, to love one another, to be holy as he is holy. All seemingly impossible. But this can only be built on the rock, on the foundation of a revelation of who Jesus is. Actually, Francis, you can leave up, I think, 15 and 16. You can leave it on screen. Yeah. But let's read from verse 14. Sorry, I'm pushing you around. We read in verse 14 how the disciples tell Jesus who the people say I am. People say, who is Jesus? John the Baptist, Elijah, Jeremiah. And we can similarly relegate Jesus to be a moral teacher, a good person, an important person, or maybe even just a role model. But that's not who he is. Jesus isn't just a role model. There's no power in that. So Peter answers in verse 16, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus' response is actually quite fascinating. He doesn't say, wow, well done, Peter. You're so clever. You worked that out, well reasoned. He says in verse 17, my Father has revealed this to you in the one translation. This translation, I think, yeah, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but by my Father in heaven. You see, revelation isn't deduction. It's not like, oh, yeah, I get it now. It's an unveiling. The scales fell from Peter's eyes as Jesus revealed, or as God revealed Jesus to Peter. And Peter saw Jesus for who he really was, or really is. So in context, let's just put this all in context. This is Matthew 16. Peter and the disciples had been walking with Jesus for about 2.5 years by that time. And Peter had witnessed a lot of things. He had witnessed Jesus' authority over nature. He had seen Jesus stand and speak and calm the storm. He had seen Jesus' authority over demons. There's plenty of accounts of Jesus casting out demons out of little children, out of a man into a whole herd of pigs. He had seen Jesus' authority to forgive sins, saying, your sins are forgiven, get up and walk. Hectic. And he'd even seen unprecedented intimacy with the Father. Jesus called God, the Creator, Abba Father, Dad. And that was a revelation to the disciples. So when he said, you are the Son of the living God, Peter was declaring that Jesus is divine, that he is God, not an ordinary man. And we must also remember that Peter, as an Old Testament Jew, he understood the word Messiah. What did he understand the word Messiah to mean? In the Old Testament Jewish culture, the Messiah was the promised king, the restorer of Israel, the one who would usher in God's rule. Now, we know this side of the New Testament, that this kingdom is not a political one, it's not a geographical one, it's not a physical one, but it's a kingdom in our hearts. And it's expressed through our lives, and we live it out. The kingdom, this kingdom, can only be built on a personal revelation that Jesus is. So in verse 16, when Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God, he was declaring Jesus to be both King and God, a divine King. And here's the crux, I believe, of possibly the entire gospel. Jesus says in verse 18, on this rock I will build my church. So not on morality, not on good behavior, not on religious activity or faithfulness even. And not on Peter. He's not building this on Peter, but on the personal revelation worked out and evidenced in our lives. So our lives, how we live, bear the testimony of who we say Jesus is. Or can I say your life bears testimony of who you say Jesus is. And every one of us must eventually answer that question for ourselves. And there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing him. I grew up in a secular Christian culture, a secular Christian home. I knew about Jesus. I even believed that he was divine, that he was God. I believed that he had power. But it actually meant nothing to me before I gave my life to him. My knowledge of him was ineffective. It didn't change how I lived, how I thought, how I loved. You see, information is not transformation. It requires revelation and then a response to it. So it required a response from me. And that is what the Bible actually calls salvation. Salvation is not merely agreeing with the facts. It is a reconciliation with God. It is being declared righteous, being born again with a new heart, new desires. And then it is a lifelong relationship with this divine King. But that only begins when you answer the question. In verse 15, Jesus asked us, "Who do you say I am?" Jesus asked that we each personally answer the question for ourselves. We can't rely on our parents, on our spouse, on our pastor, on our friends. We each have to answer the question by ourselves, for ourselves. So, if today your answer is, "He is Lord," not perfectly, not flawlessly, that's unrealistic expectation, but sincerely, if you sincerely wish to declare that He is Lord, then I invite you to stand with me, not as a performance, but again, in response. I want to give us an opportunity for anyone and everyone, whether this be your first time or your 51st time, like it might be mine, I invite you to stand with me, and I want to lead us in a response. Right, so Francis, if you can, 15 and 16, excellent. Okay. So this could be like, "Yeah, guys, I've done this before. Yeah, but let us take it earnestly. We saw the disciples walk with Jesus for many, many years, and then in a moment, God revealed Himself to them again." So I'm going to read, "Who do you say I am?" And then we will all respond together from Matthew 16, and we will say, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And we will then trust that we receive the revelation that does not come from flesh and blood, but comes from the Father. Right. So Jesus asks, "Who do you say I am?" "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." So if today that this is maybe the first time you've said that, or the first time that you've sincerely in your heart said that, please would you just indicate by raising your hand. I just want to, it is a momentous occasion, and we just want to gather around you and pray with you. Is there anyone who said that maybe for the first time today? If there is anyone, and maybe this is a little bit too public, please come chat to me afterwards. I'll be hanging out at the front. And then, Eli, I wonder if you and the team can maybe just come up and... So, short preach. So, guys, I just want to ask that you seriously contemplate the statement that you made and the implication thereof. Because often we as elders, as church, we will come and preach from the Bible, and it's all good and it's all right. And sometimes it'll feel overwhelming, and it should be if you're rooted in self. But if we have the revelation of who Jesus is, and we have the power of the Holy Spirit in us, then all these things that are heavy, that are maybe a burden, that are overly demanding, will just pale and into insignificance, and we see who we are serving and who we are doing these things for. And it becomes easy because we don't have to rely on ourselves. So again, my words are hollow if not empowered by the Holy Spirit. So today, and this is an opportunity, I think, I'm trusting that through singing of a song, giving some time, and for you to focus your eyes on Jesus again. We've had a fantastic time of worship, and I'm trusting that the Holy Spirit will continue to minister to us. As Godfrey said, I'm trusting that this word is cemented in our hearts, and that's something that we can build in. The word cemented that he used was unscripted from my side, but I believe that this is a foundational word that we must build on. Because if we build on anything other than Jesus and our revelation of him, of who he is, we're going to fail. Okay?